The Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
Ooh, Rolene, things are happening in Israel.
Things are happening all over the place. Well, just to put listeners into the picture, in the early hours of this morning, we had Tzev Adom, or red alert, as rockets were fired from Syria this time into northern Israel. They were intercepted by Iron Dome batteries, but it's proof that Iran intend on creeping ever closer. In fact, Israel's foreign minister, Israel Katz, condemned Iran and blamed Iran for this little conflagration in the north early hours of this morning.
And while all these incredibly serious things are happening, you guys are still struggling to cobble together a government. It is just mind-boggling. Anyway.
Well, we're trying. We are allegedly getting a little bit closer. So,
wow, we're trying. I must say that wasn't original thought. That was stolen from the Times of Israel, where the op-ed by David Horovitz states, as Iran besieges Israel, our leaders' infighting is unforgivably self-indulgent. I think, wow, there's some truth to that, perhaps.
Well, first of all, can we just give it up to David Horovitz, because he's an extraordinary commentator and writer. And no, I don't know him.
Okay, so no royalties there. All right, let's hold off the coalitioneering for a little while. Let's talk about the very dramatic announcement, a massive change in U.S. policy positioning vis-a-vis the settlements in the West Bank or Judea or Samaria, however you choose to term it. What happened last night?
Well, last night, U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo made quite an astounding announcement. Now, it's astounding given where we are sitting currently as far as waiting for the Trump peace plan still to be revealed in its entirety, where kind of international discourse is sitting. It's not entirely a departure from former administrations, the Reagan administration being one of them, but basically last night, U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo announced that in a softening of stance with regards to the settlements, Judea and Samaria, the West Bank, a disputed territory, occupied territory. I hope I've covered all those bases. Simon, he said that the United States will no longer view them as illegal under international law. Now, this is very interesting because not every country in the world views them as illegal under international law. And under international law, these territories could be described as disputed. He says that they are in no way a hindrance to any kind of peace. And, you know, he basically gave the same rationale as was given to the recognition of Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, is that, you know, that they're not the sole hindrance. Maybe they are an obstacle, but they're not the sole reason. And now that needs to be removed from the table. As you can well imagine, both Prime Minister designate Benny Gantz as well as Prime Minister Netanyahu were briefed beforehand. They've welcomed the decision, as have Jewish organizations in America and across the world. And also, as you can well imagine, it hasn't been received that well in the European Union as well as the United Nations, who said their policy has not changed. And, of course, the Palestinian camp denouncing it, saying that you cannot call the United States an impartial negotiator, and perhaps they don't have a place with regards to playing any kind of mediator in the Middle East.
Rolene, could this be seen perhaps as a political decision by Trump to assist an ailing and failing Netanyahu?
It could. It could be the boost that Netanyahu needs. There are other pundits saying, could this be paving the way for any possible annexation? But I don't want to use the A word, not that word, this A word, anytime soon. But, you know, ultimately, it's not going to be up to President Trump to make decisions on Netanyahu's future as a leader here. It's going to be up to the Israeli electorate. It's also going to be up up to the Attorney General, and we'll see later on tonight, as Gantz and Netanyahu meet at about 10 o'clock tonight, where we go from here.
This is Gantz's last day, isn't it? This is the final day which he has to cobble together a coalition of some sorts before, 3 weeks, where anybody can have a go.
Well, the deadline is tonight, and if Netanyahu can't form a coalition, if Gantz can't form a coalition, it is highly unlikely that anybody else would be able to form a coalition. And as we speak, negotiators from both of the two big parties, Kahol v'Levan and Likud, are meeting. But the officials within Blue and White about an hour and a half ago made the announcement that they are ready to accept President Rivlin's plan for a unity government. And Rivlin, as we speak, so many meetings going on, Simon, I just can't keep up.
Yeah.
Kind of insulted I'm not invited to any of them. But
Rivlin
himself meeting with the various party heads to try and push this so that we don't get to more delays. But apparently the Blue and White are ready to accept Rivlin's proposed peripatetic government. And if you're all wondering what that means that they would be, power would be shared equally between the two big parties. So, where the deadlock has come in is the discussion who would lead it first and some minor issues which, many believe have been ironed out. But, the two big, party leaders, Gantz and Netanyahu, are going to meet tonight, and the coalition negotiators from both parties will meet with President Rivlin before they meet at 10 o'clock. But just to recap, listeners, Rivlin's plan is a unity government in which power would be shared equally, and Prime Minister Netanyahu would be made to take an indefinite leave of absence if indicted for corruption. He would have a turn to go first as Premier, and Gantz would fill in afterwards.
That is a hugely important issue, the issue of the indictment. Is your Attorney General, what is taking so long?
I think they want to be extremely thorough. There are rumors that phone records are going to be examined. There was some concern about the Justice Minister who spoke out about certain issues within the investigation. This is a major case. This is a major case, and earlier today, the court gave the go-ahead for the police to conduct searches of Netanyahu's top aides, their phones, their phone records. So they want to be very, very thorough. I know on another case as well, in another case that involves extradition of somebody, there's a lot of frustration on one side because it's taking so long. But the courts are extremely, extremely thorough here.
Okay. Now, that makes a whole lot of sense. But I must say, it would be very helpful if they were brought sooner rather than later. That is for sure. Rolene, the issue that worries me about this change in the American policy is the fact that I think Israel is being used as a football between the Democrats and the Republicans. And it just worries me that this once again is going to turn Israel into a partisan rather than a bipartisan issue. And surely there has to be that concern at your end.
Well, absolutely. Well, there's two concerns. There's the concern that this could give rise to a certain amount of violence and violent reprisals.
Sure.
Even though we expected it with the announcement of Jerusalem as the capital, and it kind of fizzled out. You know, there's always the concern here that just the slightest spark could ignite a tinderbox.
Sure.
That's basically it. And also, you know, I think you're very, very right. Is Israel the proverbial football as President Trump tries to be the anti-President Obama. It looks like, you know, anything that the Obama administration did, not just with respect to Israel, with other issues as well, is, but in this case, this involves us, this involves Israel. Are we seen to be the anti-Obama football that's being lobbied about? And it is a great concern. And I know, and perhaps it's the analyst in me, you know, when it comes to announcements like this, we have to drill down, you know, quite specifically and look at the cons as well as the pros.
Sure, sure. Okay, on a different note, yesterday we spoke about the University of Toronto, denying Jewish students kosher food, saying it was pro-Israel. I believe today there's been an apology.
There has been an apology from the graduate student. Let me put my teeth back in.
Yeah, you do
from
that.
The Graduate Student Union, which is the biggest union on campus there, and has a committee that's dedicated to promoting BDS and BDS interests. Well, I don't think they quite bargained for the amount of international coverage that came out of this, and international condemnation. It wasn't just Jewish communities, it was allied communities as well, who said that this is absolutely untenable, and they apparently have apologized for the language they use. But no word whether or not kosher food will be made available, but we're hoping that they've learned a very, very strong lesson from this. And the United Nations releasing their report on anti-Semitism, and listed in that report is the fact that BDS is considered anti-Semitic. And this just in,
yes.
Apparently there is a lot of seriousness in the discussions right now between Kahol V'Lavan and Likud, that we are moving towards President Rivlin's plans. People, just please cross your thumbs and fingers and toes and whatever else you have to cross.
All crossed, and I hope we wake up tomorrow morning to find out that you have a government. Rolene Marks, that's where we leave it. As always, thank you for your insights, and really look forward to speaking to you same time tomorrow.
God bless. Gamani.